Awesome. I think I saw some folks from the Northeast. Raise your hands. Yeah? All right. So, again, my name is Kirsten Workman. I'm an agronomy specialist with UVM Extension out of the Middlebury office in Vermont. That's my crew down there in the bottom right. And I also am a master's candidate in the Plant and Soil Science Department on campus, studying agronomy with Sid Bosworth. And I'm presenting to you today my research for my thesis, talking about forage radish and winter rye cover crops and corn silage. I think I'm like the fourth or fifth person today talking about corn silage, so that's awesome. And I just want to start by thanking my funders. So this project was funded as a small piece of a larger NIFA grant in the Sustaining Rural Farm Communities area, as well as a Northeast SARE graduate student grant. So I couldn't have done it without that. Also, I have a great crew of folks in my extension office that help do all the field work. My children in the bottom left there, who are my research assistants, the official flag removers, although we hope that they only do that when instructed and no earlier. And the two farmers that hosted my research. So I don't have a research station that I work at, and I do all of my research on farms. So Eric Clifford in Starksboro hosted 3 of the 4 site years, and the Borstevelds down in Panton, Vermont, hosted the other site year. So I'm not going to spend too long setting up context, although the extension agent in me wants to, but you all know about cover crops and why they're important. In Vermont, they're important because of phosphorus and the issues we're having in Lake Champlain with blue-green algae and cyanobacteria. So just a quick little bit of context, and I'll talk in acres here just briefly. We have about 1.25 million acres of farmland in Addison County, primarily of which is in forage crops. Our annual cropland, 96% of it is in corn silage mostly, some grain, soybeans, and then the balance is in vegetables and small fruits. And of course, dairy manure really drives our systems in New England, but especially in Vermont and especially in the counties that I work in. So you can see here, we have a TMDL in Lake Champlain for phosphorus, and we know that 40% of that phosphorus comes from agriculture. So while it's not the majority of the phosphorus entering, it is the single largest source of phosphorus entering the lake. And we know that much of that phosphorus runoff is actually driven by erosion and manure applications, and those two things together. And again, I mentioned how much of the cropland is in field crops, especially corn silage. So these are the three counties that I spend most of my time working in, and they make up about 37% of those acres. And in Addison County alone, which is in this little area right here, this county, is about 30% of the corn silage in the state of Vermont. So that's a lot of impact, and so we've been working really hard with our farmers to address those issues. And we're making progress. So the picture on the left is the infamous Addison County clay, normally fall-tilled. That's actually spring-tilled clay. But we've made progress from that. We're really seeing our farmers innovate and adopt new practices, whether it be cover cropping, reduced tillage or no-till, planting green. They're really, in the last 3 to 5 years, making huge, huge changes. However, it's not always pretty. So while I'm smiling about that humongous winter rye cover crop, the farmer who was trying to plant corn there this very wet May and June was not smiling. We got it done with a roller crimper, actually. And we also know that lots of residues we've heard today and high biomass producing cover crops can actually impact our yields. So if we want farmers to adopt these practices, we have to address some of those concerns. So we're kind of looking for a better way. And so the question we asked as we started this project really is, can we build a better cover crop beyond just a heavy winter rye cover crop? Can we get better fall performance from that cover crop? Winter rye planted after corn silage in Vermont isn't always all that impressive. But in the spring, it can kind of take over. Can we use our manure nutrients a little bit better? And can we use radish to maybe grab some of those manure nutrients in the fall, keep them from leaving the system, and then make them available to what's left in the rye in the spring? That was sort of the research question. But as we kept moving, the question sort of changed to maybe spring biomass isn't the goal. So you'll see a little bit of that. But basically, the treatments that we planted were several combinations. Altogether, there was 11 treatment combinations, a control of no cover crop, and then we used NRCS recommendations of a straight winter rye cover crop, and then what they would suggest both drilled and broadcast with radish. So there was 125 kilograms per hectare radish drilled and broadcast, 95 kilograms per hectare rye drilled and broadcast, and then that with 3.5 kilograms per hectare of radish. And then the same with 67 kilograms of winter rye per acre, again, or per hectare with and without the radish. Very confusing. Anyway, that's what it looked like in the field. And then we spread, so we drilled with a no-till drill, a haybuster no-till drill, the one you see there in that picture. And then we broadcast just a hand seeder, and my plots were about 93 square meters. And then we spread manure over the whole experiment in 3 out of the 4 site years. That's the one problem with on-farm research, right? It doesn't always go exactly as planned. So again, 4 site years over 2 growing seasons, so 2014-2015 cover crop season and 2015-2016 cover crop season. We were shooting for dates that were earlier than normal in Vermont. Most of our corn silage is coming off normally would be the end of September. This year it's still being harvested as we speak. And that's kind of on the edge of the territory for forage radish planting dates. As we know, I think Heather Darby's giving a presentation or a poster about the earlier you planted, the better. We did get radishes to grow in the fall. And then we, again, put on some manure. And all the cover crops were then terminated when the farmer was going to plant their corn. So depending on the farm, it was slightly different. I'll talk a little bit about methods when I talk about my results. But basically, we collected some data in the fall, sort of at the checkpoint of, maximum effect in the fall before winter came in, and then again in the spring right before termination. So for results, the main thing we saw, and I'll go over these, are percent cover, biomass, a little bit of soil nitrogen and soil temperature. And basically what we're seeing here, and I'll show this in graph form in just a minute, but basically the biggest difference we saw overall was the difference between our drilled plots and our broadcast plots. So in percent cover, what we see there is that all the drilled plots did similarly well and did better than the broadcast of the same treatments. And what we also see in percent cover is that often, except for site year 3, which was just an amazing cover crop for many reasons, often the broadcast treatments were no better than no cover crop at all. And I'll qualify that with saying that when I measured percent cover, I was using the NRCS line transect method. And so we were measuring all residue, not just the cover crop residue. Site years 1 and 2, we had some spring tillage before the cover crop, or before the corn crop. And then site years 3 and 4 had no tillage the spring before corn. And then none of them had any tillage once the corn silage was harvested. Does that make sense? Okay, so what we see here is, that this is the fall, and you'll see that in all the site years, the drilled treatments tended to do better overall than the broadcast, but no difference between the actual drilled treatments, and that was independent of whether there was radish or not, and independent of the seeding rate of winter rye. And then in the spring, I should back up. There is a little bit of, not here, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to run out of time. Okay, so then you can see here that in site years 3 and 4, we had an amazingly warm fall and winter that year, where we had like 64 degrees on Christmas Eve, which is unheard of in New England. And so that really drove, the lack of difference between treatments in the spring. But again, you see that often those percent covers would come up and make up a little ground in the spring just because of how rye performs, but really no difference between the actual seeding rate treatments. But this is what this looked like in the plot. So what the biggest takeaway here for us was broadcasting with a manure application over the top is not ideal in terms of getting good establishment. So you can see here it was just spotty establishment in our broadcast treatments versus the same exact treatment drilled, had nice, pretty even, depending, establishment. And then we see that follow through to the spring for the most part, where the plot overall had very even stand versus these big, blotchy areas of cover and no cover. So then we see similar things in biomass. Again, drilled is better. And we see differences between the drilled plots and the broadcast plots. We were measuring, taking biomass samples of the cover crop. We took them several times. The data presented here is sort of at that fall check and then again at termination. And again, we see a difference between drilled and broadcast, but really little difference in between the treatments within those planting methods. And so again, what we do see a little bit, although not statistically significant. We see a little bit of bump from those treatments. So these are the, this would be 95 kilograms per hectare rye without and with radish, and then the lowest rate without and with radish. And this is where we started to see a hint of the forage radish providing us a benefit. In the fall, with percent cover sometimes and with biomass, and especially in the broadcast plots here, these tick up when you add some forage radish in the fall, which is interesting, but we're going to look closer at that as we move forward. But then in the spring, we actually see them sometimes behave the other way, and not necessarily do we see the forage radish give us more biomass in the rye the following spring. And again, site year three, really, that warm fall winter sort of masked any difference between any of the treatments, even just broadcasting seed on the surface and walking away. And again, this is what this looks like with and without radish. We see this is just one plot's data, or two rather, the same rate of winter rye planted without radish and with radish, and these are all drilled because we had more consistent establishment. And we can see that we got more biomass in the fall, but often less biomass in the spring, which turns out might be the goal. So then we looked at soil nitrate. And again, I measured soil nitrate and ammonium nitrogen and to calculate plant available nitrogen, but really the whole thing was driven by this nitrate, so I just pulled that data out separately. And basically what we see is there was very little difference statistically, but in the years that we saw a difference, it was really between no cover, where there was more soil nitrate available, both in a kind of mid-April and beginning of May sampling event, and in the control plots versus the cover crop plots, but no difference between the cover crop treatment. And again, we see those differences primarily where we had the highest biomass producing site years. And then we see the same thing in soil temperature, where very little difference. I think we have it in the early sampling event, site year three, we see a difference. Again, this is the one that had such great establishment. And then in the second sampling bit, we see a little bit in site year two, but again, a difference between control versus cover crop, but not in amongst the cover crop treatments. How am I doing for time? 2 minutes. I'm going to push through. So just briefly on economics, we calculated the cost of establishing these treatments. So we take the seed cost remains constant, of course, because the rates are all the same. So from drill to broadcast, that is. And then the equipment cost is what changes. And we know that it's more expensive to drill the cover crop, but what we think now is that even though it might be more expensive to drill this very low rate, it's low for Vermont, not low for like Nebraska, but it's going to cost more to drill it versus broadcast it. If we don't get a stand and we don't get any benefit, then and NRCS requires actually if you broadcast that you use this rate, which is $126 per hectare, then maybe we are ahead. So we didn't see any significant difference in available soil test phosphorus, even when we were applying manure. We didn't notice any difference in soil temperature at our deeper depths, which wasn't surprising. I mentioned that soil ammonium nitrogen, we didn't see any differences. And we did see differences in the actual uptake of nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium of the cover crop, but that was just a function of the biomass production, not about the treatments themselves. And then again, we see differences by planting method, but in a lot of these results, not necessarily by the actual seeding rates. So our preliminary conclusions is we know that manure on cover crops is good. In site year one, we actually split the plots. I didn't include that data here, but in our other work, we know that applying a fall manure application to a cover crop can almost double your biomass and ground cover, which is great. We know that drilling is better. We want to plant our cover crops like a crop whenever we have the possibility. And that 67 kilograms per hectare winter rye can get us the same results as 125 kilograms per hectare winter rye is really interesting for my farmers who call me every time the NRCS deadline comes up and ask me how much they have to plant. And when I tell them in pounds, they say, really that much? But now I can take this information to our local NRCS. And we're starting to change our mindset that we want to maybe maximize our fall biomass and cover for sure, but do we want to minimize our spring biomass? And that's where I see the potential for these lower seeding rates and adding things like radish. We're going to look closer at the data to see if radish makes it better. We want to be able to let farmers do conservation without cost share, so lower seeding rates are part of that, being flexible. I have a grant looking at the economic analysis of these no-till cover crop systems in Vermont and looking at alternative manure technologies other than surface applications. And our latest thing that we're looking at, hopefully, will be looking at changing our corn cropping systems, not reducing yield, but accommodating our cover crops better. And real quickly, because I know I'm over time, I just want to say that on-farm research is awesome. It really drives adoption that we see in Vermont. And as we've started doing these projects on farms, we've gone from almost no cover crops in 2011, 2012, to we're on target for 30,000 acres this year. And that's primarily because of these farmer groups and Extension, NRCS, and the state all working together and really figuring out the barriers. And I work with a particular group of farmers that have been working really hard. Thank you.